So אם אפשר תרגום לאנג'לו, אם אחד מכם יכול. ואם קשה, כן בדיוק, אם קשה לשמוע תחת ה... I don't know if you need the air conditioning or not, maybe yes. But ah yeah, there's a place next to me, Yala. Be nice to have you right here. And Tal, if you want. Yeah, we've got plenty of space. So what I want to explore with you is what drives us to teach, or what stops us, and because teaching is, we're talking about mindfulness, so teaching is really not so different from practicing, so everything that I say is going to be relevant also to what drives us to practice, and or not. And this morning we had an hour sitting silent. For some of you it's a bit long, or some of you maybe need more guidance. And so what was your enthusiasm for sitting this morning, or not? Oh no, I don't feel like. In relation to teaching, many of us do want to teach mindfulness, Dharma, and there's some quite a lot of struggle around it as well. Quite a few people want to teach and they don't find the opportunity, or they find problems. It may feel like a great blessing and a wonderful way to earn our living. That's a question whether people really earn their living from teaching mindfulness. It's another question, late Parnes. But how much of the motivation is to do with our love of freedom and liberation, and our wish to give others opportunity or not? And then when we don't have motivation, what are those voices? Tiredness. Oh, the same group again. The same people that I have to teach again today. Or we're doing too much in this life. Most of us do too much, but that's the society, and we feel, well, we can't do it, or we face problems that take away our motivation. I feel it's not working, people complain, I get resistance, I don't feel good, doesn't feel successful, something's wrong. So their voices as well. Motivation is under the category in the Dharma language of virya. And virya you could translate as energy. But it's everywhere in all the Buddhist teachings. It's one of the Eightfold Path, it's one of the factors of awakening, it's one of the five powers, all over. And its energy, and the image I have, is when I ask my grandchildren to do the kelim, to do the washing up. And they say, only energia. And then I say, okay. And then 1 minute later, they're running and they're rushing about. They're tons of energy. So it's nothing to do with energy, really. But the language is energy. It's cheshek, it's willingness, it's readiness, it's resistance, it's motivation. It's many things to do with the heart, really, of my heart is driving me or not. And we need to look at the sources of energy and sources of motivation and look at the sources of resistance and explore them. So one of the sources of motivation, and let's call it by its true name, is ego. Okay. Just to be aware here, when we talk about ego and self, we're talking about giving something its true name for the sake of freedom. It's absolutely okay to meet the self. When you're, we don't want a concept of non-self. We meet the self in order to see the self. And when we see the self, we dance with it. And part of that is non-self. So here, let's call it by its name. And indeed, the selfing is a source of motivation. I want to have a group. I want people to listen to me. I want to be in a position where some respect. I want people to like me. All of that needs to be seen and allowed. It's not a problem, ego. We shouldn't sort of try and cancel it, but we need to see it. And it can be a source of motivation for us. It's okay to be a person, to be human nature. But once we see it, then we can begin to transform it, to make a compost from the ego, turn it into compost. And once we see, for example, we go into a group and we're teaching and we feel good because someone says, oh, you're a really good teacher. That's a moment of awareness. Okay, good feeling inside, feeling of the self being supported. Ah, I like this. It feels good. At that moment, look at that. What is that? How is that? How are we with that? Because it's a moment of insight. And the opposite. Someone says to us, we don't like, you're not doing well, you're not a good teacher. The self jumps up, we're busy with it, and we need to stop, look, and see the way the self is kind of running the show. And with kindness and sympathy, and not trying to be other than what we are, a person, it's okay. And there is the insight into self and the need of the self and the need to be liked and the need and so on, which we can begin to play with in that role. And it helps us to play with it to see selfing when it comes, and to see how we need. And we begin to have that voice lighter. When we see it, that voice becomes lighter. And we gradually feel ourselves not knocked over when someone says we don't like you. We're not, a bit like I was saying yesterday about the worst Dharma talk you ever gave in your life, and you just don't have two thoughts about it. The reason you don't have two thoughts about it is the self. Otherwise the self would sit, oh, what did I do wrong? I'm no good, it doesn't work for me, I'm no good, I'm etc. So we get lighter with that, and that helps our motivation. We will not be put off by people saying they don't like us. But what about the voices in us, and they need to be seen, that reduce the motivation because their voice is like, I don't feel capable, or I'm not good at this, or I don't like this situation. I don't feel right with this situation. There are voices we need to look at as well. Sometimes it's true. Sometimes we have to say, that's it. I'm not going to do this anymore. Great. But sometimes they're just voices that need to be seen. That see them, vipassana, allow them, meet them, let them go. They're visitors. And next 5 minutes they're gone. Mara, the visitor that says, oh, I can't do this. Ah, hello Mara. How are you today? So there's one level of, I would say, the level motivation that will help our motivation by meeting selfing, the world of how we are with a group, and how what voices in us might be stopping us and encouraging us, inner voices, and to meet them and to allow them and to feel the freedom at the same, with them. Another source of motivation that would help us is really to see the joy of expressing our Dharma voice. And here is something very powerful and beautiful, because the Dharma, or the, I think, any spiritual journey is not a kind of internal kind of closing ourselves inside and it's all secret and it's all inside. We need to feel the flow. Right in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha said, mindfulness in, mindfulness out. It's not just an internal, it may seem like that we're talking about going inside, we shut our eyes. Yeah, okay, but we shut our eyes in order to see better. Finding our Dharma voice is very important and very helpful. And it helps our inner world to be able to express it outside. And so we can really feel that flow, and that gives a big motivation. Expressing the Dharma confirms it for us, supports it. Your story, Angelo. You didn't want to be disturbed at night, knocking on your door. But afterwards, you felt good, because you were needed, and something came through you to express to the world. And so these voices are important. The Dharma voice includes giving back what I received. So it's kind of a flow. I received Dharma, now I'm ready to give. That doesn't mean necessarily a group of a mindfulness group or MBSR group, but it can be. But it can be anywhere in life. It can be in Bituach Lumi with, in the, or the Pakid in the somewhere, or it can be the, you know, the driver of a bus in Tel Aviv. You received, now you give. And that's a kind of motivation. Wanting to give back, is just have to be a little careful, because if it's mixed with ego, then we can become missionarium. So we have to be a little careful with that. I received Dharma, now I want to give it. So it we have to be careful that it's ego there that would say, I need to be a, what is it in Hebrew, Talbanim, a crusader.
Such love.
Yeah. But anyway, if we kind of refine it, we purify this sense of let the Dharma voice be heard, it's a very big power for us. And as it gets more developed, we can begin to feel called, that the Dharma is calling us, or the Buddha is calling us. And again, if it's not too egoistic, it's actually very beautiful. It's a power. It gives us a lot of power. If we take refuge in the Dharma takes refuge in us. If we take refuge in the Buddha takes refuge in us. If we surrender to the Dharma surrenders back into us. There is a flow there, and we can find a real big source. And I'm putting this into language, but I think all of you feel it. The source of energy that makes you want to come to this weekend, to want you to give something, there's a big source of energy there. Part of that is being called by a spiritual life, and it's great, and we can celebrate it. And as I say, with a caution, to be a bit careful that it doesn't go into places of too much selfing, and then it becomes, like I say, and it can renew us very much when we feel tired, when we don't want this group, when we can't be bothered. Oh, again, I have to schlep somewhere to whatever to, and everything else happening at the same time, politics and craziness, and the kids need to go to school, and I don't have money, and yeah, whatever, and I've got a headache. But somewhere deeper down, a source of energy is, yes, but I'm called from a deep place in me, is calling me. I will go. I will do it anyway. And I feel it now and then. It's very light, but after a whole day, when I get up very early at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then the evening I've got a Zoom at 8 o'clock till 9:30. And I do have moments when I feel like my grandchild Alienergia. But always, the minute, the first moment of connection with the people there, energy comes whoosh. No problem with energy at all. It's a thought that maybe there a little bit, but the minute I kind of feel the thing itself, the Dharma arising, or the people there, and the readiness and togetherness, ain't by ya, up. another way, another thing that is helpful in teaching, in bringing mindfulness to, and it is actually not so much the teaching, but to be in discourse that has meaning for us. So that many of us kind of feel, well, if I go and work in high tech all day, there's something is missing in the meaning. And at least this brings meaning. What brings meaning is not so much that I am teaching, but it's that we are in a vessel, kli, a vessel where there is meaning. And that gives us a lot of motivation. And if we think about it as in that way, I'm with a group and we're exploring together. And by the way, it takes off the pressure to be a teacher. It's actually what's happening is a kind of field of exploring together, experience, a bit more truth of things, a discourse between people, question and answer about life issues. It just brings motivation because there's more truth and more meaning in such a thing. And if you feel a little bit, I don't have energy, shift the view a little bit and say, well, we're together in a kind of a vessel, a dialogue, a kli alchemy, you could say, alchemical vessel. And it's sangha. That's where the sangha gives energy. And very often people say, well, I don't know how to sit, the Dharma doesn't have a lot of place in my life. I say, go to sangha. Even if the sangha is not deep, or this, or these people, or those people, doesn't matter. Just go, because it lifts the energy. And you can say a group that you teach is just lifting the energy, lifting the. And again, personally, I never intended to teach, but I was in CLIL, and somehow this is in the end of the 80s. I just got someone from Carmiel saying, you know, we hear that you know about Buddhist world, can you come and do an evening for us? And that started a whole series of evenings, and I used to go to Carmiel every week. And there were, you know, academic people and so on, and we just did evenings once a week, and because of that started Tovana. It just Tovana started naturally, because I kind of said, okay, let's get together and do a bit more, let's have the retreat, let's start something. But it was the kind of wanting to swim in that sea. And you can feel that as a really source of power. I want to swim in that sea. More meaning, more connection, more something important in life, and more, a bit more deep. And just let that motivate us to whatever. And sometimes it's to learn, sometimes it's to teach, sometimes it's to be with Sangha, sometimes it's whatever. Whatever it is. So I want to go to one more source of motivation, and this is the Dalai Lama, who said one time that if you get worn out, exhausted, tired, you don't want to practice, you don't know where your source of energy is, then you should ask yourself, what is my highest motivation? And it's a question that I'd like all of us to explore and think about. What is my highest motivation? So this leads in two directions, at least that I want to consider now. The first is the issue of faith, sadha. Imun, or Dvikut, or Bhakti in the Sanskrit, devotion. What is that for us? How is that for us? It's really important to kind of go the other side to two tendencies which are problematic for us in the modern world. One is to turn something that we do into something technical, commercial, headspace, whatever, quick app of mindfulness app to get money. It's a way of making something very material and technical. There's another side, which is turning it into a belief system. I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Buddhist. And in between there is faith. And faith is having, putting the heart into what it is that we feel is meaningful for us, is important, put our faith there, imun, but it doesn't go to emuna, and it doesn't go into just technical stuff, material stuff. So between there, it's very important for us. Refuge is beautiful. And I think we can be really honest about faith. Don't feel, well, I shouldn't have faith because it's not politically correct. It's really important that we have faith. And it's a very big story and won't go into it now. But basically, it helps us go beyond our limits. It includes helping us to go beyond what we think we know. If we're talking about a world beyond thought, for example, how do we reach with our consciousness beyond thinking? The faith is like the kick we get, the keresh kvitsa, that helps us to go beyond what we know. And it's really important, and I think we can really feel that it's with us. It's a driving force that's in our heart and quite deep. And we can go and teach MBSR, which it seems maybe technical or with a protocol. Doesn't matter. If we have faith, we're coming from that place of faith, then we will teach it differently. We will teach it, it will pass, our faith will pass. We will pass something, a sense that there is something bigger behind this. And that will come through because of our faith. The Buddha said in a very much a teaching model, he said, someone with faith, and again, faith means not belief, belief in God, belief, and not neutral mechanical material. So he said someone with faith is like a big banyan tree, eight banyan, which is so big that many, many people can shelter under its shade. So in the image, someone with faith, they become like the banyan tree, and people are drawn to you to be under your shade because of faith. And I have no shame in using words like kadosh. Sacred space, because it of faith. We need to have that sense. And in the end, it's faith in awakening. We need to have the faith in awakening. That it's possible, that it's there for us, that it's not just at the end of great number of lifetimes that we have to be born again and again and again and again, as in the tradition. The third noble truth is a truth. It's not a place beyond. The first noble truth, the truth of suffering, oh, that's a truth. And the second noble truth is, yeah, well, if I practice, I'll learn that one. And the third noble truth is, well, that's just for the Buddhas. No, it's a truth also, like the first. So if the first is the truth of suffering, then the third, the truth of liberation, has got to be equal to the first one, as a truth. So we need to be part of our internal and external discourse awakening. Be part of our inner language, part of our discourse. How much it's an external discourse, if you know what I mean, a discourse, siach chitzoni, there we have to be careful. Because to talk about liberation to others, there's many issues we have to be careful about. I'm reminded also from the Zohar about in the kind of key part of the Zohar, there is this, Shimon Bar Yochai said something like, Oili imani omer, oili imani lo omer. It's hard for me if I talk about it, but hard for me if I don't talk about it. And I think it's the same with expressing outside awakening. Because it can't be just, it tends to be the elephant in the room somewhere, but we need to see the elephant and see the room. If we see the elephant, we see the room. But we have to be careful not to talk in the language of Nirvana to people who, they're just going to misuse it. So, we just have to be very sensitive to when to use, when to talk about it, when not to talk about it. It can be so easily misused. We can be afraid of it, we can be avoiding it, then it becomes the elephant in the room, or we can do the opposite, talk about it, then it becomes too easy, something just language, it doesn't have significance anymore. So we have to be sensitive and careful then. That's a whole issue on its own. And it can be easily misused and abused, as many stories I'm sure we know. And one final point and motivation that I think is important. Who is it that we're talking to? What is our image of those that we talk to? So if we see a little bit the potential in the people we talk to, that's a little bit seeing the Buddha nature, that we're talking to baby Buddhas, if you like. We're talking to people like all of us that have somewhere deep down an angel in the heart, a pure place, and we talk to that. That gives us a lot of motivation, because we see people differently. And it says, okay, maybe this person says, I don't know what you're saying, it's all bullshit, I don't this and this, and I don't want any, whatever. But we see inside there's a person that has longing, that wants truth, that wants somewhere deep down there's a pure place in each of us. And we can talk to that, and we can teach to that as well. And that helps us and it helps our motivation to go out there and express Dharma, because we feel the potential of people, even if on the surface it seems difficult. Okay, so there's a few thoughts about that.